Okay, let's go through this going back in time business again, because it can get confusing, and it's not easy to talk about, for really. It can be very confusing because we're so used to speaking in terms of objective time. In quantum physics, we have learned that what we think of as the real, quote-unquote real, past is really not the quote-unquote real past, but is an alterable, unfixed past. And this is a strange idea, I know, and it comes out of quantum physics, and it might take me a little time to explain that to you, but basically, just accept it right now that that's really what's going on. It follows from the uncertainty principle that the reason it works is because we can't be certain of anything anytime. So we certainly can't be certain of what's been passed. So there is a principle of indeterminism, uncertainty going on. Heisenberg's uncertainty principle concerns the observation of an object, for example. It tells us that there are limits to how accurate we can make such observations. For example, an experiment in which we try to locate where a particle is, or where we try to locate how fast it's moving, what its momentum is. According to the uncertainty principle, these two possible ways of seeing the particle are viewed as complementary. And when one of the observations is made with great accuracy, the ability to determine with great accuracy the complementary measurement is not possible. In other words, if we know the momentum well, we don't know the position well. If we know the position well, we don't know the momentum well. And all we can do is compromise so that we give a little bit of blur to each, and that gives us some sense as to where and how fast the particle is going. But there's always room for error here. So in certain experiments, it's possible to change the past because we can always change the way in which we view the past, how we alter how much we give to momentum or how much we give to position, how much tolerability we allow for either of those two. So this is really where the whole idea of altering history comes from. It's because there is no such thing as an absolute fixed history. So that's why when I talk about time travel, I'm trying to present it to you in a way which says that you can also go back in time and that there is no fixed past back there that would keep you from maybe even altering it in some way. Many people think, well, what I'm talking about is actually changing how I think about the past. And in actual practice, that's what you're doing. The question is, am I really changing the past? Am I actually really doing that? Well, think about this for a moment. Let's suppose I take the argument that no, that's impossible. You can't do that. According to my understanding, whoever I am, the laws of physics, the laws of science, you can't do that because it's done. Okay. All right. Take that argument. Second argument would be that, well, yes, you can. It's possible. All right. Now we have the two arguments. Now, in order to have a scientific discussion with these two counter arguments, each one facing each other, we would have to perform an experiment to confirm one or the other. Since we can't perform an experiment in an objective sense to confirm one or the other, we have to accept that either of the two could be right, or they both could be wrong, or neither could be right, or they both could be right. In other words, there's no way of knowing because we can't do that in an objective sense. Now, some scientists say that what you can't do objectively simply doesn't exist. It means it's not viable. But the whole point of this is that the universe of your consciousness is also not objectively viable. We can't get to it objectively. We can't find where you are inside your brain, so forth. So we can't really prove any of this by any kind of objective experimentation. That's why we have to go to this quantum physical understanding, which tells us that underlying any objectivity that we can experimentally determine, we always come up with a principle of indeterminism, which means there's always a subjective element in every objective view that we can take. Let's now envision going back in time and changing the past. Now, we have to be a little careful here. For example, suppose that while we are visiting a past universe in which we are, and we witness our past self involved in a car accident. In other words, we're going back in time and seeing ourselves. We're seeing ourselves as another person, in other words. Now, we remember our past, and we remember ourselves as not having that accident. Well, suppose we are a little bit uncertain as to whether we did or did not have an accident back in time. And we maybe are not so sure. Maybe we did, but maybe it was only a dream. I don't know. So we go to another person who knew us back then, and we say to the other person, "Hey, do you remember what we were doing back then? Did I have an accident?" And suppose the other person then says to you, "Yeah, I remember you did have an accident." Well, will we be convinced? But wait a minute. Suppose we then go to our insurance company to see if indeed an accident report was filed at that time. And the insurance company we remember we were with at that time tells us that indeed we did suffer an accident. Now are we convinced? Oh, well, what has happened? As far as we now know, our memory of an accident-free universe has become the fantasy, while the memory of the accident has become the real past. But when we started this whole adventure off, we were sure, maybe a little unsure, but pretty sure that we did not have that accident. Well, what's happened? Well, we've switched universes, obviously. We're obviously in a universe in which we had the accident. But wait a minute. What's going on here? Does this mean that we all can simply change the past by wishing it to be so? No, it's not saying that. What happened in the above story would indeed be a shift in time between one universe and another, parallel universes, if you like. And if it occurred, we would say we got confused and we had a memory lapse. That's all we would say. Well, you guys remember I did this. I don't remember it, so you guys must be right because what? Maybe everybody's lying to you. Maybe the insurance company had false records. Maybe somebody falsified the records. I mean, we've seen movies like that, right? I think there was a movie with Jodie Foster called Flight Plan that had some kind of weird thing like that going on where the whole world was performing in such a way as to convince the person that they were actually having this reality when it really wasn't real as far as she was concerned. Philip K. Dick often wrote stories involving this kind of a theme. So messing around the past seems to introduce a basic fundamental bifurcation, regardless of how we look at it, in which we may have a memory which is different from the memory of the people around us who also have memories, or even from our insurance companies, or whoever else we bank on as having the correct memory of what happened. And as such, if we have a different memory, what is it telling us? In some psychological circles, you might be saying you have a false memory. And that is a concern in some circles of psychology and in reference papers that have been published, that it's possible to have false memories. And the notion that something is true and something is false is because we are so convincingly believing that what happened in the past is past and done and cannot be changed, so that we use the term true and false, meaning that the past, as the collective unconscious remembers it, is the past. Go into a courtroom, and in the courtroom, we're trying to determine whether a particular person is guilty or innocent, or has committed fraud or not committed fraud or something, and the jury decides what the past was. Or it says, we cannot determine what the past was. We're hung up. But usually they make a determination and say, it was that. The statement that many people who write about such things is that history books have the past. But actually, a history book is just a recall of the writer's imagination and his rationalization what is written as history is not the real, quote-unquote, real past, which even in the memories of those experienced it is subject to change. I often enjoy watching television shows or movies in which a documentary is made about what happened back then. And people recall, and there's a general truth to what they're recalling, as we recall our history, but it's always an embellishment because, you know, people's minds change. I think someone once said that history is written by the winners. How many people remember the history as seen by people that didn't win the battles? Of course, we can always say that the historian has simply reinterpreted history, but that real history, which may be unknown, has really not changed. And what I'm trying to point out to you here is that history or past is to some extent malleable. This doesn't mean that we all should just change what we as a collective remember as the past, just willy-nilly throw it away. If we're remembering it collectively, it obviously must be something important to our evolution, to our future, to what and who we are. So not all, that's why we have sacred history. That's why we have memory of horrible events in the past, because we don't want to repeat them. Or we don't want to enter into a parallel world in which that is our present course. Different versions of the past cause many troubles. In fact, many conflicts in the world arise because people cannot account for a general agreement as to what actually occurred in the past. Okay, so let's look at this again, where we're looking here at the ego in terms of how it relates to time travel and what it means when you go back in time to the past, and how by doing so, you have to be a little careful because there's no way of coming back and knowing for sure that you've altered the past or you've just gone into a parallel world. And if you start claiming to be in a parallel world when you come back out again, then you run into the problem of everybody else thinking you've gone nuts or something like that. So you've got to be a little careful how you deal with the past. It's not as easy as you might think. Traveling to the future is a different thing. Here, what we're doing is we're envisioning for ourselves a mastery, our ability to control what is about to happen to us. Now, this mastery is a technique, or this ability to control the future or master something, is well known to athletes. They do it all the time. So they have to time travel in their minds and see what's going to be the next step before they exercise it. I think if you would ask any of the great athletes like Tiger Woods or Barry Bonds or any of the great quarterbacks who played football because there's so little time, or any of the basketball players or the greats of yesteryears and so forth, were they able to do this? Were they able to see what's going to happen before it happens? I'm willing to bet that they all will say yes. Being an athlete myself when I was younger, I would often have a sense of where something was to go in the future without necessarily knowing how I could know that. I used to be a quarterback, and when I would throw touchdown passes to other receivers, most of the time I could not see where the ball was going because the opposing line was coming in so fast on me that I had no time other than to just get the ball off, and I didn't even know where I was throwing the ball. I knew, but I only knew from seeing it from the future point of view. In other words, I knew it before I threw it that it was going to go there, but I couldn't see it was going to go there. In fact, when you think about anything dealing with sports, there is the anticipation of the future where the golfer hits the ball, he sees it landing on the green. These are aspects of what is required. It's mastery. It's the ability to control what one wants to have happening in the next moment that leads to this kind of time travel. So this is an ego strengthening thing. Because what you're doing is you're keeping the ego by strengthening is blocking out stuff, and it's allowing a certain mastery or control to emerge.